That's mini message one. Turn to Acts chapter 1, please. This morning and throughout the day, we are going to be thinking about a very important and crucial truth. It's a truth that Satan hates. It's the part of the gospel that makes it superior to all other religions. We have the only, and I hate to even use the word religion, the only faith that can point to an empty tomb. This empty tomb where our blessed Savior conquered death. And the reason Satan hates this truth so much is because the resurrection guaranteed his judgment and his defeat and assures us of victory. In Paul's day, there were those who said there was no resurrection. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. I'm sure you've heard this before. Why were the Sadducees sad, you see? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they did not believe in any kind of miracles. And so to be consistent, they of course could not believe in the resurrection because it was a miracle. And you know, there were two young men who lived in England. Their names were Littleton and West. Both of these young men were unbelievers. They were both skeptics. And they decided to make an agreement between the two of them, and they would study two things that, after studying them, believed they could disprove Christianity. And they were things that they knew Christians believed. And if they could knock out that foundation, then they believed they could destroy the truth about, teaching about the resurrection. And so they did these two things. They each took a subject. One took the conversion of Paul on the road to Damascus and wanted to study that and prove that that was not true. And then the other took the resurrection. And they studied for a year, gathering all the information, all the material that they could for an entire year. And at the end of that year, they were going to get back together and compare notes. After 1 year apart, they came back together, and the first man who studied the life of Paul, after his conclusions were reached, he said, "You know, I have to admit, I after all my research and all my study, I admit that I can't find fault with everything I found about the conversion of Saul. I really believe he had this conversion experience on the road to Damascus." The second young man said, well, he said, I've been studying the resurrection for a year. And he says, I have to report to you that I have also concluded that the resurrection was true. And beyond that, I believe it's so true that I have received Jesus as my personal Savior. As I said to my barber this week, if there was salvation any other way than through Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary, then Christ died for nothing. If there was another way, he died for nothing. And I know it's hard for us even to fathom or even to imagine, but let's just suppose that there was no resurrection of Christ. Then all of the truth about his being the Son of God, all of the truth about his being virgin born, all of his dying on the cross would have all been empty if he had remained dead and had not raised from the dead. If he had not walked out of that tomb, there would have not been no results accomplished. In 1 Corinthians 15, Christ would not have conquered death. Death would have conquered him. In 1 Corinthians 15, our preaching would be in vain and we would be false witnesses. Our faith would be vain. Most of you know what an arch is, and the ones that were made of a stone, cut and chiseled stone. What is the very one at the top of the arch, right in the middle, called? The capstone or keystone. In fact, if you've ever seen them built, they have to put framework underneath first to hold up the stones until that keystone gets put in, and then they can remove the framework down below because all of the arch, the weight goes on that keystone that holds together in the middle, on the top. Do you know what the keystone of our faith is? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know, the resurrection certainly was nothing new in relationship to biblical teaching, even in the Old Testament. It was predicted, and carefully study sometime and see how many resurrections are taught in the Bible. You'll be surprised. There are three resurrections taught in the Old Testament, and there are seven taught in the New Testament, for a total of 10 resurrections. And the resurrection itself is mentioned 40 times in the New Testament. Jesus prophesied his own resurrection. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're not going to look at all of these predictions, but just a couple this morning. Matthew chapter 12. And there in verse 38, Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And so he predicted that it would just be 3 days and 3 nights that he would be in the heart of the earth. If you go to chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So he began to teach and to explain these things to his disciples. So Jesus predicted and prophesied his own resurrection. If we were to go back into the Old Testament, we would find all kinds of typology, all kinds of pictures. We've already looked in just the last few weeks at how Isaac was a type of Christ, in that when Abraham offered up Isaac, what did Isaac carry? The wood that would be where eventually? On his back, because he would be laying on the wood. And so he may have even carried it on his back, in all likelihood, carried it on his back. A wonderful picture of Christ carrying the wooden cross on his back. And so we know that there are many, many types predicted in and shown in that prophecy, and certainly pictures for us Christ and his finished work. If you go to Genesis 39, you see a picture of Joseph, and Joseph was thrown into a pit, and his coat was covered with blood, and the father believed he was dead. And so Joseph is a picture of Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection someday. Suppose that we were all alive when Christ lived here on earth. Isn't it wonderful that at least three times during Christ's earthly ministry, he raised people from the dead? He raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead who had just died. He raised a young man from death who was already in his own funeral procession. So he had already died at least many hours ahead of time, because the Jewish tradition is to what? Bury the same day. And then Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. And if we could interview the relatives of the 12-year-old girl or the young man or Lazarus, we could interview them and ask them if they believed in a resurrection. They would all say, well, of course, my own child or son or brother was raised. Even one of the thieves on the cross believed in a resurrection, because he said what? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. If there wasn't resurrection from the dead, he wouldn't have said that. So there are a lot of things that point to a resurrection and to Christ's resurrection. But wonderfully, we have much proof. If you go back to Acts, and I had you turn there and never did read with you there, didn't I? Let's go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering, by many infallible proofs. And so this morning, we all are aware of many of those infallible proofs. We've been believers long enough that we understand these infallible proofs. We understand these truths. The Bible very, very plainly and very, very clearly talks about Christ's resurrection. And in Luke 24:4, says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about it, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. And so the Word of God very clearly talks about his resurrection. He is risen. To deny the resurrection is to deny the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, But now is Christ risen from the dead. Romans 4:25, He was raised for our justification. And so the Word of God gives testimony to the fact that Christ conquered death and raised from the dead. But we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Let's also go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye shall know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so we have the Holy Spirit who will testify of Christ to us. And skipping over to chapter 16, verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so the Holy Spirit has come to give testimony. And one of the ways that he gave testimony was when he inspired the writers of Holy Scripture to record for us about Christ's resurrection. So we have the Word of God that teaches us. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit concerning the resurrection of Christ. We also see a wonderful change in the disciples. Peter went from a denier to a very, very bold preacher. What was the change? The resurrection. He gained confidence and boldness because Christ was alive. And then we have an empty tomb. An empty tomb. You know, archaeology can do many wonderful things. I have enjoyed reading about and visiting archaeological sites. Someday, if the Lord allows, I have kind of one of these bucket list. How many of you have a bucket list? I have a bucket list. There's a few things that I would like to do. I want to visit all 50 states, and I've got 4 to go. I want to go on an archaeological dig in Israel someday. I'd just like to do that. If I get the opportunity to do that someday, that would be wonderful. But archaeology has told us that in this tomb there was never a decayed body in that tomb. They can tell through testing and so forth whether there was ever a body. And in that tomb there was never a body, a decayed body. There was a body, though, wasn't there? The body of Jesus Christ. And it's empty, that tomb. Well, what's the purpose of the resurrection? We saw some prophecies concerning the resurrection and some proof of the resurrection. But what was the purpose of the resurrection? Well, number one, it proved the deity of Jesus Christ. It proved that he indeed was God and is God. Romans declares that for us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. We read, And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. So it proved his deity. But also, it assures our justification. Go to chapter 4 of Romans, and it says in verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So it assures our justification. It authenticates redemption. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel that we hold so dear. According to John 11, it also assures our resurrection. Not only did Christ rise, but that assures that like he rose, we too will rise. And it guarantees the defeat of Satan. Back during the Civil War, a fierce, fierce battle had taken place. And the next day, things seemed to calm down, and there were a group of soldiers sitting around a campfire. There was a young man who sat by the campfire, and he was just trembling. And one old man looked at the young man and he said, "Are you afraid to die?" And the young man said, "No." The older man said, "Then what?" And the young man said, "I'm afraid of what comes after death. It's appointed unto men once to die," Hebrews 9:27, "but after that, the judgment." You know, because Christ died, was buried, rose again, we don't have to fear death, and we don't have to fear what comes after death, because our faith has found a resting place, not in the Weissner Creed. The resting place of our faith is found in a resurrected Savior. Let's pray. Father, this morning we have very quickly reviewed truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was predicted and prophesied. We have many infallible proofs. And we can see the purpose was not just our salvation. That was one of the purposes. But also with that purpose, we have calm assurance that because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Thank you for the truth of the songs we've sung. Thank you for the truth of the scripture we've read. Thank you for truth of the message we have heard. And thank you that Jesus Christ is alive today. Cause us to go forth daily with that victory in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.